Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called? Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go! That's class!
There is no such thing as...
Closing time.
Oh, I knew you were going to make that. I was like, who's going to make the first one?
I know where James Corden lives. I know where James Corden lives. This is not a joke.
Okay, I don't. I'm okay. I don't.
Okay.
Closing time. 24th September 2011. We're past the 10th anniversary, directed by Steve Hughes. And Steve Hughes is an interesting so-and-so. I don't know if you know about the Crash of the Elysium, which was like kind of the original, like before they did like the kind of big, not time crash, but you know, like the big kind of like, live event kind of thing where like you like go through in groups and like you kind of like a dark ride only, and like, you know, you're kind of in like a live. He did like the original one, which was like Weeping Angels and stuff like that. He did like all the video work for that. He also worked on it's the thing, he's
go on.
I'm not trying to be rude to him. He's kind of stuck in Channel 5 original drama territory now as a director, which is basically like an even more boring British version of being like a Hallmark Channel director. It's like Channel 5 is like where all like the cheap kind of like sloppy kind of stuff goes. Like you're like no one watches Channel 5 willingly. Basically, it's kind of like the poo-poo channel. And speaking of poo-poo, written by Gareth Roberts. Okay, so Soon to Die, Doctor Who visits his friend James Corden, who is a baby now, in a new house, and gets a job at a local shopping center, which turns out to be the home of a buried Cyberman ship. And the Cybermen try to convert James Corden, but his baby's crying reverses the procedure, and the Doctor goes off to die while Reaper Stalin is kidnapped to the Silence and forced into a spacesuit. Okay, I have so much to say. But the first thing I want to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you decide you're going to do a plot where the main character knows he's going to meet his death in a certain place.
Okay.
It's going to be soon. Yes. Okay, so you have that set up. Why is the one episode where you explore the entirety of that kind of thing an episode with a character who appeared in a single episode last season? Why is it not like, why are you not reaching out to like someone more notable in like the history of the thing?
I disagree.
Well, here's what I say as well. If you're going to do that, why James Corden? What, I get like James Corden's like, you know, this is like pre-chat show James Corden. But like, there's nothing in this entire episode that kind of justifies the idea of Craig being back. And there's nothing that really kind of expands Craig's thing beyond he has a baby now. And even then, the baby doesn't really factor into anything but the ending of the episode. Like, there's no real reason for you to be like, I'm going to bring back James Corden for this episode and we're going to explore his character a bit more, because there's nothing to explore this character. And and within that, then this farewell tour idea is so just thrown out there with why are you doing this in one episode? Why is this like a one episode plot? Why isn't this like, you know, your whole back end focus, like the whole arc being like he's on a farewell tour. He's like checking in places. He's making sure everything's okay because he's going to die soon. Why is it just like he's on a farewell tour to a shopping center in London?
So here's the thing. I agree with you. I think the problem is not that he goes to see James Corden. The problem is more that James Corden is the only one he sees, which again, I think is because they moved so many of the episodes around over and over and over. They couldn't do, there was just no like chance for them to do what would be the fun and cool version of this, where it's like some really like deep pull, like Susan, the war Susan shows up or something like that. But I don't know. I like this episode. It's not bad. It's just it's a comedy episode. It made me chuckle. It made me laugh. I like Val. Val is good. It's maybe one of the last few times the Doctor interacts with kids. I'm trying to like think of like
series seven.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Series 7 famous is an episode where he's blackmailed by two children into...
Nightmare in Silver.
Yeah.
Right, of course, forgot. And I have not seen the special, Doctor and the Widow, the wardrobe. So I imagine there's children in that one too. This is a Doctor who's really good with kids. Mm. And I feel like this is one of the last ones where...
Mm.
They tried to do it again with Capaldi in The Forest of the Night. And they were like, nope. Sorry. Can't do that. Not good with kids.
I don't know. I there's a lot of stuff where first of all, the knowledge of Val is played by is it Linda Barron or is it Linda?
A living legend.
Yeah, who of course was in Classic Who twice. She was in the Gunfighters, which is she sings the famous song of the Gunfighters. The lift up your glasses, do 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 do. In the last, that's her singing that song. And she's also in Enlightenment, the Fifth Doctor story, where it's all about Celestials flying big spaceships that are literally ships. She's basically like the Pirate Queen. So this is her, like, this is them being like,
she's the one who delivers the line straight to camera.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ow. All right.
And she's good. She's good in all three. But like... One thing that really strikes me about this one is that, like, now you might say like Daleks in Manhattan is low key, but that one features like a literal army of human Daleks being created by like the Empire State Building. Is there anything as low key as we're gonna bring back one the second of like the top three? Because like top one, it's like first Dalek, Cyberman, then Master. Is there anything more low-key than we're going to do a Cyberman story where the whole thing is they're stuck in the shopping center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think the Cyberman is completely just like wasted here. Just like there's just nothing for them to do. Poor guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not their fault. But it's true. They just literally have nothing to do.
I will give them it is kind of funny, but the whole thing is like they're just in a shopping center and that's like the whole kind of thing. But like,
yeah.
You could literally just swap out anyone for them, and
I could make up a villain right now called the Banana Splits, and it does not matter. Like it would have made no physical difference, other than the bit at the end. How do you defeat them? Like, oh, I guess you defeat them like this.
Yeah, that we'll get okay. That ending, I think, was really like lambasted at the time. I remember people being like, "What the hell was the point of that?" And I don't think it's aged particularly well within that. I don't think it's a real cop-out kind of ending, basically. It feels like a real kind of cop-out ending of like, okay, we've put him into this position, had to get rid of him. Oh, he's going to hear the baby crying and then he'll, that'll reverse the whole thing. But they undercut that. Like, the Doctor says like in the spaceship, like, oh, you hear that? He hears his baby crying. And like, there's nothing more powerful than that. And then afterwards, he's like, actually, it wasn't that. It was just a whole different mix of different things. Love didn't save the day. And it's like, why'd you undercut yourself?
That's a joke. That's a joke, though. He says that and he immediately goes, oh, it was love.
Yeah, but still, like, I don't know. okay, we need to... we need to figure this out, because I need to figure this out as well without looking at the wiki. How much time do you think has passed between the God Complex and this? Because I think you might know where I'm getting at this, because...
Like maybe a month?
It's because it has to be longer than a month, because how is Amy like a famous model who's been recognized in a shopping center with a giant billboard says...
Oh, that's a good point.
But the thing with that as well is that, like, and I know it's a joke as well, I know it's like an inside joke, but why is the, and this is the most cinema sense, I don't get that. Why is the perfume two gags to previous episodes in terms of like what it's called and what the tagline is? But also why is Amy like a famous, like where did any of this come from? Like you don't need that scene. You really don't need that scene of them being there, because it's like you just did the big emotional farewell at the end of the last one, and literally 20 minutes later you're like, oh, by the way, they're in this scene, but they're not going to like interact or anything, and you know, mm-hmm. good luck to you. It just does not need to be there, and. I mean, it's not the biggest problem with this thing, but I do think it just does not need to be there. Yeah, like my main thing is just that, like, this farewell tour thing just never really feels like they had enough time to figure it out in terms of, like, you know.
I mean, it didn't. I could have told. Yeah.
But like, even like beyond that, like I said this to you like jokingly, but like it really does feel like, for me anyway, that like every moment is like the 20th minute of an episode. So it just feels like every single point they hit is like the halfway point of where they usually be. So like all the stuff that happens, it's like, it just kind of happens, and it just ends. And then you get like the kind of Marvel post, not even post credits, like pre post credits stinger of getting the suit right now. Which,
how long did the suit thing is making me ask a lot of questions, because that I didn't ask before, where I'm like, why the suit? What is this delivery mechanism that we need to put her in? How long did she wait inside of that suit underwater? It made me ask questions that I don't think they wanted me to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Solely because I was like, oh, I guess this is what this is about now, you know? Like, I guess we're doing this.
It is, yeah, it is just like, there's a lot of questions across the board for me. I don't know. It is what it is.
And I hate that nursery rhyme. It's so...
Oh, it's so annoying.
We get it. Mm-hmm. She's gonna kill the doctor, okay? Just let her do it. just let her do it, and that's it.
When
Val started talking about them being partners, I was like, uh-oh, mm-hmm. uh-oh. And but then I was like, oh, actually, there's nothing bad.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even make a, gay joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What they do is they promote the Cybermets, which I think is it's a fun, if you're going to like do this kind of thing, I guess like it is fun that they bring back like a little bit more iconography of those guys. That scene where like the Cybermen attacks is, I think it's a fun kind of like frantic kind of moment of energy that it kind of needs.
Right. And the bit with the teeth is funny. Mm-hmm. It's a cool little design. It makes sense for it to be in a, you know, in a weird like toy shop. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. It's like, I know it's weird to say, it feels like the shop aspect of it is very integrated into the story at first,
mm-hmm.
and then completely abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's sort of what Doctor Who does best, is take something normal from like commonplace, you know, from real life, and then turn that into a big, fun, crazy sci-fi alien thing, which they do at first, and then they drop it.
Hmm. I think like they're clearly like setting up like a joke that like I'm a joke, like a twist. Like you think it's a ship like in space, but then it turns out no, mm-hmm. it actually crashed years and years and years ago, and then they built up on top of it. Like, which like is an interesting kind of thing, turn to put into it. But like, it doesn't really factor into much. I don't know. Like, something else that got me is at the end when he's going away and those kids are playing in the street, and like they all turn to him and they start walking towards him like they're about to attack him or something. It's really weirdly shot kind of thing. But like, I think it's a fun idea for it to be like, you know, these kids give testimony, like usually they've been like, you know, oh, we saw this guy and he went into a box and the box disappeared. Like, that's a fun, I like when they do that kind of world building where it's like, you know, it's not like major, you know, earth shattering like additions to the kind of whole thing, but it's like, you know, it really fleshes out like the kind of, you know, sidelines of stuff. But like, it's an episode I think that is kind of most kind of, to me anyway, it kind of is most indicative of the structural problems in general of the show. I think it's just it feels kind of cobbled together, much like the creatures at the heart of it. Like, it feels like they have
that's my
Rotten Tomatoes pull quote. It feels like they have like the human element, which is like, you know, the people at the shop, Craig and his Alfie, you know, they have like that kind of human mm-hmm. side of it, where like it, like the kind of interplay with everyone is really fun, you know, they all love mm-hmm. the doctor, they all think James Corden's a sex pervert, and then it gets let down by having to have this very generic kind of second thought, like, you know, they don't really get the Cybermen thing a lot of thought beyond like, you know, oh, it's a Cyberman, they're going to be like walking around in this one location being like, we're going to take you away, or blah, 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 blah. And it doesn't work for me. I think as a whole, it just doesn't really work for me. Even like as a sequel to The Lodger, like it thankfully isn't trying to do that. Like, there's no, like, the only carryover obviously is Craig, and like, I think that's for the best, because if they were trying to do like a sequel to Lodger, it would have just been kind of, I think, misguided, especially when they did, like, they kind of did already at the start of the season mm-hmm. with them finding the spaceship from the Lodger in, you know, America. It is kind of limited. I don't, as far as like being the penultimate episode of a series, it is kind of the first time I think it's the first time in a while where like the penultimate episode has felt kind of throwaway, although The Lodger was also kind of throwaway. This feels like a really kind of throwaway kind of thing, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy when it's about like the protagonist that up to this point has been like this massive force. Although the Cybermen don't really become like a massive force. Like, this is the kind of start of the Cybermen kind of becoming, it's the end point of the Cybermen being this kind of, you know, gag kind of character. Because like the Moffat era doesn't really treat them as like, you know, serious threats until the Cabal era, which is like they're in every single finale. They're in like two finales, they're, you know, an actual threat, whereas like here and Nightmare and Silver, they're just like, you know, we're gonna throw these guys into an episode just to have like a protagonist, an antagonist to, you know, face up against, which I think is an interesting idea. It's an interesting way to treat like the kind of, you know, the kind of big Russell kind of, you know, finale stalwarts. I think that kind of treatment works better when he's doing Dalek stuff, because like Asylum and, you know, like his Dalek episodes become like character studies more than, you know, generic kind of
right
week. And this is just like a generic, and this and Nightmare both like generic kind of, you know, adventure of the week kind of stuff, where like, you know, it really is just like they need to be Cybermen. And if you're going to do Cybermen, you kind of have to do them like an interesting kind of way. If you're going to like do them as like this kind of, you know, non-event episode kind of threat, and there's nothing interesting about like what they're doing here, Like, you could, like, I hate to be like, you know, oh, this is how you fix so and so, but like, they're stranded underground in a crash landed ship. Like, you could, there's so much stuff you could do, like, where they're using like stuff from the shopping center to like, you know, convert people, and like, they're kind of morphed between like, you know, what they had to get their hands on versus what they came in with, rather than being like, you know, oh, we're still fully functioning, we're just like stuck underground. Like, it's just not really interesting. It's like a depiction of these guys, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, it's light and airy. I think it helps that I enjoy light and airy sometimes, but all the complaints you have are absolutely correct. I was much more enamored with like the little beats than the actual plot of the story. Like when Eleven goes into the changing room and he's holding up a piece of women's clothes, like it's an ID card that you need to go in, or you know, the beat of Matt Smith smiling after Val's like, and there's the silver rat thing.
Mm.
The what? I like that everyone in the story immediately knows and trusts and believes in the doctor. Like, that's great. Mm-hmm. I love that shit.
Toy shop. I like him working in the toy shop and him having fun in the toy shop, being like, look at all these cool toys. The little canine joke where he's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that's fun. Like, it, like those, that's what I'm saying. Those little like human moments are where it really sings. And then when it has to like the Cyberman stuff, it kind of just kind of flops around a bit until it's done.
Agreed.
Yeah. I know that like a lot of people, there was something recent, I can't remember who it was. There was some antagonist like later on. It might have been in the Chibnall era. It might not have been. But people were like, insistent, like, oh, you know, he's called like, Alfie's calling himself Lord Stormageddon of the Vault. He's going to come back as like a really like big antagonist.
Oh,
like, shut up. Like, come on.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was some random guy. I can't remember who it was. It was some random villain where they were like, oh, wow, it's Alfie. Because like, he said he's going to come back as Lord Stormageddon. It was like, it was a joke in a throwaway episode from 2011. Like, it's not going to be like, it's not going to build entire. It's the whole like Minister of War thing where it's like, they're not going to like reference an episode from 2015
in right.
2025. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It is just like, at the end of the day, I really wish they had more time to do the farewell tour stuff, because you don't really get a lot of the weight of like that kind of stuff in this episode. Like, it just kind of goes like, oh, well, you know, he's gonna die soon anyway, so, you know,
I feel like I think knowing what's to come after
mm-hmm.
the farewell tour, knowing how this is solved, there is a chance, the possibility that they didn't want to do too much of a fuss, considering it's not the end. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like an end of time thing where this is like a big final hurrah for the entire era.
Mm-hmm. I know, but like at the same time, like he doesn't know that like he's gonna be burning a giant robot, beat your cock, like to death basically at this point. So it does kind of feel like, I don't know, it just doesn't really do it for me, I guess. But you know,
mm-hmm.
Semisonic would disagree. I don't know any other closing time. James Corden is doing stuff in the shopping center. I don't know. The Doctor Speaks Baby, that's fun. The thing that's really sticking with me about the whole Amy being like a big model thing is that it only ever comes back in once. And that's in Silence of the Daleks, for like the intro to her character in Silence. Remember, she's doing like the really, really weird photo shoot, and then it's like, Rory's here to divorce you. She's like, okay, I'll sign the papers. And then like, it never comes up again that she's like a famous model or anything. It's a really, really weird character beat to do. But yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, you go on these kind of side quests where, you know, you do fun stuff and no one really knows why. But yeah.
Side quests is a really good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's a side quest.
It's a side quest that didn't need to be there and really just kind of, it's a strange scene to have. Because, like I said, yeah, like, you know, it is just like you just did this big farewell. You don't need to like undercut that by just having these guys pop up again. Yeah. Yeah. Closing time. Yeah. I don't know. Closing time. Bye. It's the last
round.
Clothing time, because it's in a clothes shop. Well, there you go. Go back and film that scene, please. Where Lotter was like, "It's clothing time," and they're like, "You mean clothing time? Yeah. You can make it work. You can be John Pertwee. Yeah. Bye."
Next time on Pod Tour, Who Cast?
Before I go, I'd like to know why I have to die.
Silence will fall when the question is asked. All the times I've heard those words, I never realized it was my silence, my death. It's time.